Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. I have Mateen filling in for Qasim today, and our guest today is Daniel Schneider. So, Daniel, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Great. Thank you, Dan. Nice to meet you, Mateen. So I live in Sunny Isles, Florida. I have a cafe and restaurant called Java Crips located in Pompano Beach. We just opened a few weeks ago, so we're a full-scale cafe and restaurant. We're only open right now from 7:30 in the morning to 7 p.m. at night, but eventually we'll be extending our hours for tapas and alcohol. I guess if you wanted to compare us to something, we're sort of like a Starbucks, but with a crypto theme. So everything from crypto lattes to crypto chinos to Diamond Hands crypto lattes, purple polygon iced tea. We have Ethereum blue iced teas. We have all different kinds of things named after cryptos. And that even goes for our food items. We have Bankman in the Bahamas, Pattaya or acai bowl, which is actually pretty good, but everything's named after things in crypto. And no, we're not trying to promote Sam Bankman-Fried because we know what he was all about. But at the end of the day, we're kind of having fun with the crypto theme. We even have on Sundays, we're starting brunches and there's actually a Bankman-Fried chicken and waffles, which is kind of funny. We have all kinds of cryptos in our name. So we have a Bitcoiner bowl, a Cryptella bowl. People kind of have fun with the crypto theme. You don't have to really be somebody that wants to or somebody who's deeply invested in crypto or somebody who's been in the crypto game. It's more about educating people, getting people comfortable. And it's where I kind of think of us as like the rainforest cafe of crypto in that sense.
That's awesome. So are you getting people? So essentially, in terms of your cafe, to come to your cafe and kind of network in a sense, people who are also crypto enthusiasts, meeting other folks, like are you hosting events for them? What does that look like for you?
Well, since we kind of went with a soft launch, we didn't really do much marketing in the beginning. We've had crypto folks coming in here. We have a crypto tokenization and real estate group coming in with about 30 people on September 28th. And they said more people are welcome to come to teach people about how to buy real estate with crypto. They have their own crypto token, but they want to really teach people how they can utilize their crypto for real estate purchases. So we said, sure, go ahead and have your meetup. So they're going to do it at 7 p.m. on September 28th. But we have more people coming in that want to do their own crypto events as well. So, you know, one of the things that we want to do, especially after 7 p.m. and later, weekdays or weekends, is give crypto people the opportunity to reserve the space. And right now we don't charge anything for it, which is great. But we know that people will buy food, you know, they'll buy food and drink, coffee, beverages. So obviously there's something in it for us, but it's more about networking, like you said, and about letting other people know that not only can you come to other people's crypto events, but you can host your own. So we think that we're going to follow that model for the, at least through the end of the year. And then after that, we'll see where it goes.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. So how did you get the idea to start this and open this cafe?
It was about 5 or 6 years ago, probably closer to 6 years ago, back in 2017. I met my now really good close friend, who is my business partner, who's a restaurateur. And he said to me, that sounds like a really great idea, when I brought up doing the crypto and the crypto theme. But we also realized it was a little too early and we didn't know whether or not, you know, crypto was going to be a fad at the time. And then, you know, seeing that it's found its place, and obviously not only in with people that are interested in crypto, but obviously our government getting involved and the SEC, and they see it as a threat, you know, for many reasons. And it is, it's a credible threat, though. Transparency, you know, we can go on and on about that. But I think that a lot of people are very interested in crypto. And unfortunately, I don't think a lot of people have taken the time to learn about it, mainly because they have their regular day-to-day functions. They go to work. They don't need, they invest their money in the stock market or their 401k. And they're like, to hell with crypto. This is a young kid's thing and I'm not going to do it. And that attitude is slowly shifting. But in some respects, there are people who still have a bad taste in their mouth. So they're not going into it after all the negative news, you know, the things with FTX and, you know, the things with Voyager Digital. You know, I myself kind of took a step back after I lost a lot of money in crypto. But I think moving forward, people are willing to learn about it. And some of the things that people have said when they come into the cafe is, you know, what do you think about that digital dollar? I don't trust it. If the government does it, I'm not doing it. So we get quite a few people saying that. They ask about Bitcoin and it's like, can you tell me how Bitcoin works? You know, and we go into the whole, you know, ledger and, you know, how it evolved, you know, who started it, who's Satoshi? Obviously we can't answer that. But I think there's a lot of people there that really want to learn about crypto, but at the same time, when they come in, we're not throwing it in their face. It's kind of like, hey, I love this theme that you guys have going on here. What is this? I love it. Can you tell me a little bit about crypto? Because I know nothing about it. And we're finding there's more people who are coming here that don't know about crypto than actually do, which wasn't necessarily something that we expected. But at the same time, we're so new, we don't have a large enough audience to really understand who our true demographic is. Is it the Starbucks customer? Is it the crypto customer? Is it something in between? But I do know that we've set this up to be family friendly. It's a great place to take your kids. They have fun because they're looking at like the stuffed animals and the different things that we have, the merchandise and crypto. And kids are definitely interested more in the product than the crypto itself, but they think the coins and the symbols are kind of fun. So that's kind of cool, getting the parents to ask about it and have the kids learn a little bit about what's going on in crypto.
Yeah, I think when you're, you know, offering good food and an awesome environment, I don't think it's, you know, like anybody can come, right? Like to your point of creating this awesome family friendly atmosphere, you have good food, you have all these things. And I think it's like, yeah, of course you're going to have crypto people coming, but if you're in a certain location, oh yeah, let me check this place out and see, you know, what they're all about. So 100%. And that's awesome that you're inclusive to everybody, whether that they're crypto fans or not.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, one of the things that we're doing, you know, we have our own branded, merchandise. Like we have crypto cufflinks with our logo on it, crypto cufflinks with other cryptos on it. So there are some unique, interesting products that people can find here, card games, jewelry. We have like CryptoPunks jewelry that we're putting up for sale, which is fun, you know, kind of different from what you would expect to find elsewhere. There's really not a lot of places that sell crypto merchandise except online. And we're kind of like that one-stop shop where you can come in, you can buy a ledger, you can buy a Trezor, you can buy it. Now we're not carrying all the tech gear yet, but we will be, especially for the holidays. And then from that point, we may have some other vendors in here that are training people how to use the ledger, which is quite easy, but a lot of people wouldn't know how to do it. Teaching different classes in crypto. This store is around a little over 3,000 square feet. So it's fairly large, it's bigger than a Starbucks, but we have a huge kitchen. So on top of the food items and the cafe items we offer, we also have a side kitchen, a ghost kitchen called Wingtherium that does 13 different crypto-inspired sauces. So we're really having fun with the whole crypto theme. And I think, you know, people might see us and go, oh, you guys are like a cafe and restaurant, but there's really more of a deeper purpose for this for us. And that's really to give a brick and mortar presence to crypto and help businesses, you know, establish themselves by accepting Bitcoin and other cryptos for purchase. We don't do that yet because we don't want to scare people away. But next year, we will be rolling out our own ICO for JavaCrypts, which is based on the medium or on a price of a coffee. So you never lose value. And as the coffee ever increases, you know, 5 years with inflation, you can still buy a coffee with that one JavaCrypts coin. And you can also buy the same amount of goods and services that we have in our cafes and our retail stores. We do have an online store coming out for merchandise as well, where people can buy all kinds of crypto themed merchandise and crypto gear. So we're looking forward to that. And though as far as what the future holds, we don't know. This is our first location. It's a corporate store. But I think in the future, we're definitely looking forward over the next 3 to 5 years to open 20 to 25 locations. And long-term plans or short-term medium plans. I would call it medium-term plans. We do want to go public as a company. We don't know if we're going to go public on the stock market or if we're going to do it, you know, through a digital exchange yet. So that'll be interesting to see. But we do know that our growth story is going to require us to get some seed capital. This has been privately funded with ourselves, family, friends, bootstrapping. And it took a lot of time and effort to put this cafe together.
Yeah, definitely. So what would you say is your biggest challenge right now? Is it more so marketing, like getting the word out or, you know, like figuring out what you're going to sell in the cafe? Like what would you say is your biggest challenge?
I think the biggest challenge for us right now, you know, we're in Pompano Beach, so we're in a good area once the season starts. We're not directly on the beach, or we're maybe like a mile and a half or something like that in. But I would definitely say that getting people to find us and know that there's a crypto themed cafe right here in Pompano Beach is going to be the biggest challenge, because we're not in the center heart of Miami. We're not in Brickell or anything like that. We wanted to be there, but then the rents were through the roof. And I said, we're not going to give our profits from our first store to the landlords. So we opened up in a pretty good location in terms of people having access to it, but the challenge is going to be, how do I find JavaCrypts? And like, it's gotta be more than just, oh, I'm on Google Maps. And and there has been people that said, oh wow, I looked up Crypto Cafe and you guys came up and I came there and I love crypto. But I think people have to be able to come in and realize that this is not just a crypto cafe, it's a crypto themed cafe. And when you're looking for something that has top-notch, you know, coffee beverages and tea beverages, I'll tell you, I mean, I invite you guys anytime. I don't know where you guys live, but anytime you want to come here, you know, coffee and food on the house for you guys. I think you guys will love it. And the comments we get is, oh, wow, everything here tastes better than what I've gotten at Starbucks. And I said, yeah, we don't use high fructose corn syrup. We use all really good ingredients, premium ingredients in all of our drinks, you know, so comparatively, some of the things are a little bit more expensive than Starbucks, but overall, we're not expensive at all. I think the most expensive food item we have right now is like $14 or $15 for a crepe, and our crepes are pretty big. Let me see if I can get my partner to bring one of the crepe boxes here.
Can you bring one of the crepe boxes?
So I just want to show you guys how big the crepe box is. You know, we're here to impress people. We want people to go, oh, wow, that's the wow factor. And people have already said, your crepes are huge. Like for $14, this is what I get. So this is the size of our crepe box.
Oh, wow, you can see okay.
It's big. Yeah, it's big.
Awesome.
So people are like walking out with a present. But everything's about, you know, marketing and branding. We know how important that is. And, you know, our logo on our mugs, you see the Guy Fawkes, but now he's Satoshi Nakamoto with Bitcoin glasses, right? So that's the glasses that he's wearing. And that we're really big on our logo. We're really big for people to identify, hey, that's a crypto company in some respect, because they've got the Bitcoin glasses on there. And then people see it and go, oh wow, that's pretty cool. You know, we've got a big giant one in the middle of the store and the bar, you know, so it's lit up. We have a huge JavaCrypts thing, probably. I think it must be close to 18 feet long with the logo and individual large block letters. We haven't figured out if we're going to put it outside the store or in the store, but we're very big into branding.
No, 100%. And I think also it's like, for me, I view it as like people are paying for the experience. Like that's the value of it. It's like not even about the cost of the food. And obviously if it's good food, like that's like an add-on, but it's all of it, right? Like it's the crypto thing. It's like all this, like for me, it's just what you're describing. Like I'm in Texas, actually one of our partners, Effie, he's moving to Fort Lauderdale. So like hopefully like, I'll be in the area soon, but like just what you're telling me is like, why, like, it's just so cool. Like if you're traveling, to your point, if I'm visiting, I want to go and check you guys out. Like that's so cool.
Ah, thank you. I appreciate it. And then for what we're doing with NFTs, we're thinking about things a little bit differently. We've got two projects. One is called Prevail Ukraine. What we're trying to do is help Ukraine refugees in the U.S. A lot of people don't realize it and think that Ukraine refugees are getting handouts from the government. And that's definitely not true. And how do I know that? Well, I'm married to a Ukrainian, and I was in Ukraine the day of the war. I fled with my now wife, fiance at the time, and stepdaughter to Poland and waited 30 days to get emergency visas back to the U.S. And we flew back to the U.S. And then when it came to town to, you know, what kind of assistance they could get, there was none for, I think, 6 or 7 months from the government. And, you know, we had to pay everything out of pocket. So, you know, how expensive doctors are when you don't have insurance. So everything became very draining. And then we realized, I said, you know, this is really bad. If the government's promising all this help for Ukraine refugees, and we have, you know, our current president talking about it, but what's really happening behind the scene is they aren't getting the assistance, not even from the churches. And we called the church up, and the church said, oh, who recommended you call the church for some help for Ukraine refugees? And I said, well, I called the department of such and such. And then it was like, yeah, we can't help you guys because we only help people that come April 24th or later, and you came before April 24th. So there's no help for you. It was so ridiculous just to hear these things. And that's what kind of inspired me to do the Prevail Ukraine, because a lot of people don't understand the misinformation that comes across from not only from the U.S. news, but from the news overseas. You have to be there to actually see it. And I can tell you that Ukrainians are really good people. They're nicer than Americans. And I don't mean that in a negative way towards Americans, but they're just nicer in general, cultural, respectful. They treat even foreigners with, I was always treated with kindness no matter where I went, which, you know, I think America could learn something like that, because I think there's a lot of people here that have a negative connotation towards immigrants. But the idea is, if you come into the country and you come in here legally, right, there should be no problem. We shouldn't be like, have some kind of phobia against immigrants. You know, immigrants are
100%.
You know,
I'll tell you, like, for me, it's like my parents are refugees from Belarus. Like, my whole family's from Belarus. They all came to America about 30 years ago as refugees. So it's something, you know, Belarus, obviously, as you know, is very close, neighbors with Ukraine. So for me, it's like a very personal thing for me also.
Yeah, that's great. And so, you know, doing this NFT project, we have 10,000 soldiers. There's I think 10 rare Zelenskys that people can get once we launch it. And then we're going to be doing things with benefits to the Ukraine refugees, with this at least half of the proceeds going to Ukraine refugees. And then the other, you know, we spent money to build this. So once we launch it, you know, we'll figure out how we can kind of pay back all the people with the other half that buy into the NFTs. So we want to do something jointly that way. And then the other project that we have is called Revolt Voyager. I have to make some adjustments, but revoltvoyager.com is where our other NFT is. In terms of timeline, those are where the adjustments have to take place, but it's really based on the good guys and bad guys of crypto. So we take people like Sam Bankman-Fried, who's not a good person. I think most of us can realize that for what happened in the industry with the fall of FTX. And so, you know, his name in the game is Sam Bankman-Fried, which is kind of funny, right? But Voyager Digital, that's where the name came from. It was Revolt Voyager, because I lost a lot of money investing in Digital Voyager. So, you know, coming up with Revolt Voyager was my way of kind of like revolting against it, and then bringing in all the good guys and bad guys in crypto. So we have characters in there like Elon Musk. We have Satoshi Nakamoto, like Junior, like one of the descendants of Satoshi Nakamoto as one of the fighters, you know. So we have a kind of cool group of fighters, and the game will be designed very similarly to Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, and all those NFTs are made. So we're gonna launch both of these projects, one later this year and one early next year. And then, you know, eventually that's going to turn into a video game. And the video game is really going to be about people, you know, being able to utilize their boxer to fight for good causes, humanitarian causes. You know, here's a fight, you know, the winner gets X prize, or the top people get X prize, but a significant portion of the proceeds, in many cases all the profits, are going to go to things like fighting ALS or fighting leukemia or helping children. And I think that we need to really relook at how the world works in terms of, you know, we see boxers and people killing each other in the ring, but what if we started doing these kinds of things utilizing an industry that has a lot of money in it to empower people to do good things for charities and good causes? We can start curing diseases if we really use crypto and blockchain the right way.
So true. So what would you say, like, the role, if at all, of artificial intelligence in your business?
Well, artificial intelligence kind of scares me, because I was talking to about this with a customer the other day, and we just started going off on an hour plus conversation about AI and where it's going. For us, we aren't really, you know, the AI becomes significant for us for marketing, getting our demographics right with our customers, what promotions work right. I think there's a lot of good data in there that we can harvest and utilize, utilizing AI to help us grow faster as a company. But as far as how we will utilize it for, you know, crypto trading or things on the blockchain, that really remains to be seen. If I see it can be used for a good cause, I'll use it. But if it gives us a competitive advantage where we hurt other businesses, we will not use it at all. We're very conscious as a company to make sure that wherever we go as a company, we help the businesses around us, especially since we want to help them in blockchain as well as help ourselves and help people adapt. We're really giving crypto a home. That's really the truthful purpose of this company. It's not just a cafe and restaurant.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. So what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before starting this whole business endeavor?
If I knew how long it was going to take to find the right location and how much time it was going to take to build, I probably would have kept a corporate job. And that's the truth. That's the truth, because it's very hard. I mean, granted, we got a lot done. But it's very hard to get all of this done without giving up a lot. You take a lot of risks. You have to stop. You have to tell your family, look, I'm really working hard. I don't really have time to spend with you. And those risks are all for the payoff of not really just, okay, I want to make money and I want to live my dream, but knowing that you're going to live, you're going to be around long enough to leave your legacy and make the world a better place. Because when we're gone, no one's going to remember us and know what we did unless we did something good to make the world better, right? That's really what this is about.
100%. I think, you know, it's always, you can, you know, say first in the corporate world, but to your point, right? Like, you only live once and you're doing something that you really love doing. It's your passion. You're adding a lot of value to, you know, lots of people, and not just in Florida, but all around the world, you know, and I think that's an amazing mission that you have going there.
No, I appreciate it. You know, when we're looking for other people that want to join us on this mission, whether they're entrepreneurs, people into crypto that want to get involved in some of our projects, and even investors, because I do think this company has a lot to offer, and we can teach corporations a thing or two, I think, about being transparent, being ethical, and being able to monetize that in a way where we're not really just doing it to enrich ourselves.
100%. And we just had the same conversation with somebody on our last podcast. I'm like, you know, you do it because you love it. You don't do it for the money. Of course, like, the money will come, but if you don't love what you're doing, like, the money's never going to come. So you really have to love what you're doing, be passionate, and that's when all that stuff will just come in later.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's, I, you know, you read all these things about how all the influencers on social media, this is how I got this and how I got that. And it's all about materialism, right? But, you know, at the end of the day, when you die, you can't take what you made with you. You can. And, you know, when you die, it's usually family members fighting for whatever you have in your bank account, whatever you have in your estate. But enjoy life, spend it, and know that you have enough to live tomorrow. But don't live in a way where you either save every penny that you have, or you spend it all and throw it all in the garbage can, right? There's got to be a happy medium. And at the end of the day, if I create something that makes 1,000 people very wealthy within this organization, then it's going to make the world a better place than if I kept all that money for myself. And, you know, and it's about teaching other people to live the same way, to take care of others and reward others that have a mission to make the world a better place. And that's really what Satoshi District, which is the parent company of JavaCrypts, is really about paying it forward in many ways. We can't do it right now, but that's where we're headed.
That's amazing. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or just best way to get in contact with you?
Sure. Yeah. So our website is javacrypts.com. It's J-A-V-A, like coffee, and crypts, C-R-Y-P-T as in Tom, S. javacrypts.com, javacrypts.com. You can even write us. We have emails at javacrypts, but to make it simple for everybody, just write to javacrypts@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts and opinions. And hey, if you're in the Pompano Beach area and you're a crypto girl or guy, or just interested in learning about it in general, you know, write us, stop by. You know, if you want a free cup of coffee, just mention this podcast. We'd be glad to give you a free cup of coffee.
Awesome. Well, Daniel, I want to say thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you. Hopefully you guys keep growing and have a great holiday season. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Mateen. Appreciate it. All right.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.